parts of the city meant the fall of the regime. It clearly does not. The fighting is continuing. The dying is continuing. The one thing we knew was that taking Tripoli was going to lead to significant civilian deaths, probably on all sides, as well as military deaths on all sides. So I think that this is a very...
Yeah, so hold that thought, kids, because as I recall, the left was embracing the grandson of Hitler's banker, the most evil man on the face of the earth with the death of Truman and all, and you know, the phasing out of power of the son of Hitler's banker, Kennedy killer, Poppy Bush, in charge of the Mina Coke stand attendants, who were wedding guests at the current SCROTUS, the so-called ruler of this house of bondage. But the Democratic and Republican terror war conspirators are breathing a sigh of relief after W weighed in on the crime. Of course, Obama took justice for Iraq War and 9/11/01 off the table. That's the WTC Pentabomb off the, while arming al-Qaeda death squads against Libya and Syria, and the human cesspool Trump appeared to demur on this and won enough support to pretend to win, of course, under our fracked three-fifths black box voting system. You're so glad you believe you have any agency, or you're, even the people you're voting, or even the people in power. Because, of course, he's murdering Syrians on behalf of your Takfiri army because his wedding guest called and said, this is news. Title 8, this is news? That's a question mark. This is a joke. Title 18, Section 11, 16, 11, 17 is conspiracy to murder internationally protected persons. Okay, that's the Contra War, darlings. And I've been in your way ever since I moved to the Bay to get blocked or to get beat up blocking the weapon train that cut my friend's legs off. But war criminal W said conspiracy theories. The meme that the CIA came up with, that's his daddy, when they blew our brains out in 63. As in George Bush of the CIA was told not to invade because there's too much resentment, okay? Even among the anti-Castro Cubans, they did not like what happened by W's daddy and company. But anyway, he said conspiracy theories and outright fabrications. In other words, his speechwriters aren't so stupid that they couldn't have said fabricated conspiracy theories. So obviously he's telling you, well, listen, the conspiracy theories, they're not... The conspiracy theories are not fabricated. The guy reading his pet goat to the students upside down, of course. The fact that he's doing this publicly means that Americans are hiding behind children, because anybody who actually was doing what we're saying they were doing would have been defamed before the world. We're hiding behind children, getting of course. We had our Hiroshima Nagasaki evil pointed at the Russians since we nuked Nagasaki, and certainly since Hiroshima, because they had been suing for surrender. Oh, I don't want to spoil this song.
Somewhere in a lonely hotel room, there's a guy starting to realize that eternal fate has turned his back on him. It's 2 a.m. It's 2 a.m. It's 2 a.m. Gone, I'm still warm. Maybe my connection is back.
wrong. We'll be right back. wet on the wheel. There's a voice in my head that drives my heel. It's my baby calling, says I need you here. And it's a 4:30 and I'm shifting gear. When she's forgotten song. Brandon Lee's coming on strong. The road has got me left and tight, and I'm spinning into a new sunrise. I'm almost there. Gotta keep cool now, gotta take care. Last car to pass, here I go. And the line of cars drove down real slow. And the radio played that forgotten song. Randall Lee's coming on strong. And the newsman sang his same song.
Now, does anybody know if Golden Earring did the original on Twilight Zone? Because I gotta go back to the Twilight Zone, okay? The conspiracies are no fabrication. That's what the grandson Hitler's banker just told us, and all the left embraced him. Because, wink, wink, nod, nod, we're the people that blamed the Indians when we launched our independence movement, when the UK banned our slave trade. Now, yo voy a hablar en lengua civil por un minuto. ¿Qué quiere decir en el segundo amendamente segundo estado libre cuando tienes esclavos gringos, gringas? es una, como dice, mente chinga, okay? But mindfuck, we have the media medical leech. Yeah, the medical mind leech media. There we go. Because 10 points down the dial yesterday, there was one of the people on the guy, the Berkeley's evil terrorist, had a hit list. He said, we have to make our enemies, in other words, he has a hit list. Yeah, on the trouble to come. This was a kamikaze treasurer in 2004. He's sending this to the, the noon host yesterday, who was shoving the, okay, it's the Mercury, stupid, if you want to know why I'm a spouse, okay, why they drove me home, and, you know, I sat across the desk from the ping pong from the principal of the school who drove me home in his little black four-door sedan. Okay, and my dad said he'd knock my head off if I didn't stop rolling my eyes around, but when your head is full of cotton and you're off contemplating the varieties of existence or not, how do you get back in to see which way is up when you don't know? How do you know how to calibrate your vision unless your eyes are rolling around? But you're taught to rub your eyebrows when you do this intentionally. But when they just give you mercury or whatever it was, and I get it in my cavities, I get it in this aerosol in the vaccine, they never say mercury. They're talking about vaccines. They don't say aluminum. They don't say squalene. All these adjudicants that are part of the Gulf War. But of course, there's depleted uranium too. So anyway, just look at all this evil. Now, I was just watching on interdimensional cable about how if we weren't behind all this evil, you know, Napoleon marching on Moscow, the Kaiser following up on him, and then the Yankees funding Hitler, Operation Barbarossa, so you had to throw 30 million people, 25 million, in the tens of millions of soldiers to stop the Yankees, Hitler's bank, that we now are, in the left, embracing the grandson of the banker of. Well, if we weren't so evil, how would the evil primates have made it into space? You remember the Russians, when we were putting nukes over their heads, they put a person, Yuri Gagarin, on one of the rockets and shot him into space. And now all the good little critters can escape on the pathway the evil primates made. When we double the radiation in the biosphere, this planet is history, kids.
He murdered all those jaws.
Control is not convinced with the computer as the evidence. No need to abort. The countdown starts. Watching in the trance, the crew is certain, nothing left a chance. All is working, trying to relax. Up in the capsule, on the upper trick. Just major talk. The count goes on.
Cars. There was appeared to me to be a series of explosions, both on the top level of the building and on the ground. I knew something bad happened before I even got to the bridge, because we, once again, I say I work in a federal building. The building was evacuated. The job was shut down, and the building was evacuated immediately. That was when the first tower got struck. So, and we could see clearly the smoke and debris, but the tower, the second tower, was still standing at that time.
The notoriety should be well and truly in the public consciousness, because there she is on video saying he came, he saw, he died. Wait a minute, if I got that wrong, it's I came, I saw, he died, something like that. But she was gloating at the murder of Gaddafi, and Gaddafi was murdered publicly with a knife. His convoy, which was trying to escape from Libya, was only caught because NATO aircraft identified where it was, and his pursuers were able to catch up with him. She gloated at the murder of this man. In all the discussions that we have these days about this manufactured term, fake news, it's really the reporting of power in the form of a corrupt and very violent individual like Hillary Clinton that we should be really throwing a great deal of enlightenment on, because we're letting the public down if we play to these kind of terrible identity politics stereotypes. I've no doubt there'll be many, many feminists who'll find Hillary Clinton appalling and what she has done. But the media still present this woman as something actually quite different from Trump. And I suppose the caricature that Trump is has really allowed many liberals in the United States to put aside the fact, and I think it is a fact, that Hillary Clinton really is the embodiment of a corrupt system. Trump may be a caricature of it. There's no question about that. He's grotesque. But Clinton, in her long career at the center of public life in the United States, is really the embodiment of it.
We're speaking with John Pilger. He's got a new piece out, Clinton, Assange, and the War on Truth. I'm reading it from consortiumnews.com. Hillary Clinton entered the feminist stage, if you will, in China, and be respected in all levels for them to be able to find their place in the workplace and all that kind of stuff. But right after, her husband came into office and bombed Iraq. And in his bombing to sow his oats, he killed Leila al-Attar. She was the director of the National Museum of Iraq. Leila was a advocate, a powerful advocate for women artists in the Middle East.
And when I was out blocking their weapons, I pointed to her picture in Dennis's article in the Bay Guardian, SF Bay Guardian, and said she is to die for, to explain why they could, like Brian Wilson said, either drag me out of the way, not run the train, or run the weapons over my dead body.
And we go now to the gentleman who's just walked in. Can you tell us your name and where you were when the explosion took place?
And she has just talked about explosion after explosion and office papers coming down like confetti. But let me go back here to the John Pilger.
She was their hero. And Hillary Clinton never said a word about that killing. And Jose getting her fourth eye operation because while her husband and her mom was killed in that bombing, she escaped only half blinded and she came to the U.S. for many operations. And the Clintons used to fly over her house to go visit Chelsea. Forgive me.
Very good example.
I'm so furious about this.
It is. It is about Dennis. It is about the, you know, the companion, if you like, to this censorship, and that is double standard. And it's almost, with Hillary Clinton, it's an incandescent double standard. There are many feminists who foolishly went along with Clinton's call to support the invasion of Afghanistan in 2001, on the premise that it would free the women of Afghanistan from the Taliban. It changed the position of women very, very little, but it caused a great deal of suffering in that country. So here we have the use of an important issue of so-called identity politics being used as a cover for violent intrusions into other countries, invasions of other countries, and also the censoring of the truth about this. In her interview with ABC Australia, the interviewer fed her a question which said, how much damage did Julian Assange do personally to you? So the subtext of that question was, you poor thing, you've been damaged, tell us what a bad man Julian Assange is. And her answer was, well, I had a lot of history with him because I was Secretary of State when WikiLeaks published a lot of very sensitive information from our State Department and our Defense Department. Now, what Clinton failed to say, and of course the interview failed to ask her, was that in 2010, WikiLeaks revealed that Clinton had ordered a secret intelligence campaign which was targeted at the United Nations leadership, including the Secretary General and the Permanent Security Council representatives in China, Russia, France, and the UK. I mean, this intelligence operation, signed by Clinton, went out to get things like credit card passwords and forensic details about the communications systems used by UN officials. It was by any measure totally lawless spying. Now, has that been dropped into what George Orwell used to describe as the memory hole, the sort of consigned to an oblivion? I hope not.
And, I mean, we can go six different directions with this, but let's go back to the chant that I have evolved around covering this story, the leaks. Now, my chant is leak, not hack. There's every indication that these key emails were leaked leaked from the Democratic headquarters by somebody who, after Bernie Sanders threw in the towel, because essentially he was like undermined out of the race and people began to work for Hillary Clinton, here's one guy who comes along working for Clinton because he prefers Clinton over Trump, and he discovers that there was a ravaging Hillary folks were going to get rid of Bernie Sanders by any means necessary, short of killing him. Excuse me, that's a bit of an exaggeration, but you know what I'm saying, John.
Well, I don't know. It is the United States during a political year; those things happen. But yes, putting that aside. I had a long interview with Julian Assange, filmed interview 1 year ago, and we discussed this, and I asked him outright where the DNC and the Podesta emails had come from. Had they come from Russia? And he said no. And I know they didn't. I can't say where they came from. I don't know, frankly, but...
But obviously, Julian Assange does, and he said as much. The exception that proves the rule is when the leaker is dead, it's safe to say it was the dead leaker who just died, and that's what he did say. And the one person who wouldn't know has told us, unless you're going to pretend to be stupid.
It seems to me that there is every likelihood, and that it's not unreasonable to speculate that these emails were the result of what you've just described.
And when you say, it gives the middle person a chance to jump in. 6 years ago, amid the collapse of the Libyan government, the International Criminal Court in The Hague issued an arrest warrant against Saif al-Islam and wanted him to stand trial for crimes against humanity during the 2011 uprising. In November 2011, Gaddafi was captured by Abu Bakr al-Siddiq militia in Zintan, western Libya. During his detention, he was subjected to long periods of solitary confinement and repeated interrogations without legal counsel. His tribulations were compounded by the fact that shortly before his capture, his convoy had been hit by a NATO airstrike which wounded his right hand, forcing the fingers to be amputated. In November 2013, the UN Working Group on Arbitrary Detention officially concluded Gaddafi's detention was arbitrary. In June 2017, after over 5.5 years in captivity, he was finally released under an amnesty law. Before the revolt, Saif al-Islam, a graduate of the London School of Economics, was seen by many as a potential successor to his father. Despite holding no official government position, he was referred to as the de facto prime minister responsible for public relations and diplomacy. Of course, he freed the 1,000 of the MI6 assassins who bayoneted my stunt double in 2011 and his dad. Saif al-Islam is Libyan's only hope right now and will return to politics. The lawyer of the second son of Libya's former leader, Muammar Gaddafi, who was ousted and murdered during the Arab Spring, I'm not going to call it any spring, has told Sputnik Arabic. According to Khalid al-Zaidi, the current situation in Libya, the absence of dialogue, and the misunderstanding of the actual state of affairs there makes it essential that Saif al-Islam Gaddafi returns to politics and try to reach a political settlement in the country. The lawyer also explained that the work of the most prominent son of Libya's late leader is vastly different from that going on in Tunisia, where UN-sponsored negotiations are currently underway between the leaders of the rival Libyan parties in a bid to prop up the so-called unity government, which has so far failed to impose its authority on the majority of the war-torn state. The negotiators are not working on stabilizing the country, but making deals with each other, defending their own interests, which are far from those of ordinary Libyans, al-Zaidi said, adding it is the interests of foreign states which only benefit from the prolonged Libyan crisis that are being implemented during the talks. Libyans await nothing from these talks because they haven't yielded any results for 7 years. They only bring about suffering, war, destruction, and famine. Mr. al-Zaidi also claimed that Saif Gaddafi is not supported by political powers but ordinary Libyans. All Libyans are armed to the teeth. All tribes possess serious arsenals. Saif al-Islam will rely on the will of ordinary Libyans to take part in the fight against terror and stabilize the situation in the country. Concerning the current whereabouts of Muammar Gaddafi's second son, the lawyer said he doesn't spend all his time in one place. He travels around the country, meeting with people, the tribes, local leaders. He has refuted claims that Saif al-Islam had escaped to Egypt or anywhere else. He has never left and will never leave Egypt. Back to...
Clinton really cut the ground from beneath Sanders. There was a critical moment there in the campaign for the Democratic candidacy, and there was every reason, every motive for emails that came from Clinton, who was then under her own pressure for using, as you may remember, a private server while she was Secretary of State. There was every motive for this to happen, but look, I don't particularly like speculating. I do know that the emails, and no one suggests otherwise, are completely authentic. They were published in the New York Times and elsewhere. They are authentic. And they reveal about the Clinton Foundation and its greed and how important Saudi Arabia was to the career of Hillary Clinton. That after Saudi Arabia and Qatar had donated generously to the Clinton Foundation, Clinton, as Secretary of State, approved huge arms sales, particularly to Saudi Arabia. Indeed, the biggest arms sale ever, which is, from memory, something like a total of $80 billion. And the total of U.S. arms sales to the world, as a result, doubled. Now, that is big business. That's big war making, and I would say that's big corruption.
Oh yeah, and of course, all this is laid out in detail in Bradley Birkenfeld's Lucifer's Banker, except it's not. But the one little detail that is there. Of course, he got his $100 million September 12th. Okay, like the same, or was it September 11th, 2000, in the election 2012? But the detail that is in that book is that the Clintons don't chump change, because the Swiss government had donated only like. Not even six figures to the Clinton Foundation, but after they donated, you know, rounded up to seven figures, then that's when the investigation dropped, the Secretary of State's role in looking the other way for the arming of the death squads and the Arab Sting.
That's big corruption, all right. And it's, I guess it just goes on and on in terms of this kind of policy. You know, you've got that support for the Saudis. You've got her declaring during the campaign that she wants to set up a no-fly zone over Syria, which is a path to World War III. No matter which direction you look, it is not an exaggeration to say that she was a warmonger. She was somebody who embraced war and expanded them.
And, you know, all the polls indicated during the election campaign last year that Clinton and Trump were two of the most despised candidates that had ever run for president. I suppose people's memory of that is now clouded by the rather awful presence of Trump, but it was part of that.
And one who cares about the liberation of Palestine has to recall that after the Israel, what was it, Operation Cast Lead, the one that killed 2,200 children, destroyed dozens of schools, UN compounds, rebombed hospitals in the Gaza Strip multiple times, several thousand people died. And when Clinton was asked about that, she said, Israel has the right to defend himself. Well, 500 to 600 children died in that killing. Not a word.
It's a close competition between them all, Dennis. If they had a race, and
a race to the bottom,
a race to the bottom, and if you the qualification for getting in this race was the violence of their policies, then well, you could just in the last few years you could have Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton and Trump. Actually, Trump will be coming up from behind because, you know, compared with those two, he's a bit of a wimp. You mentioned Operation Cast Lead. In that period before Obama was inaugurated, he was on holiday in Hawaii, where he met with a number of his National Security and Defense Department team, and he approved support for Israel's attack on Gaza. So, although not a great deal of publicity was made about this, but that's Obama's probably first foreign policy act was to approve Israel's onslaught on the people of Gaza.
I may be beating a dead horse here, but I'm not going to let go of any of this stuff because it's really important to talk about.
You know, Dennis, I think wondering whether Clinton or any other Clinton-type politician will ever do something that has, first of all, principle and also social justice about it is really very naive. In fact, you know, naivety, I think, can be terminal. We've really got to see these people, all of them, for what they are. I don't think a system will change until they do. Even the reaction, and we've talked about this before, this knee-jerk reaction to everything Trump does, as people throwing their hands up, when in fact Trump is a symptom and a very caricatured symptom of the system. And Hillary Clinton was a symptom of a system. And it's when, I believe, people start concentrating on the system and how to change it, then perhaps there will be some change.
But, you know, the facts of this, and let's do the full circle, really. I know we want to close this off, but the idea that the executive producer who produced the interview that her name is Sally Niebuhr, and that was done by, I guess, Ms. Ferguson. Has Hillary Clinton objected to the phrase in reference to Julian Assange as him being Putin's bitch? I would think that would really bother Hillary, the feminist.
Well, it's okay to call Julian Assange a bitch, but it wouldn't be okay to call the person who retweeted that or her colleague a bitch. That would not be okay, and quite right too. This is just more of the same, the attack on Assange. I think it's missed the mark so much in this interview that it exposes yet again high-profile journalists as really spokespeople of a system rather than journalists.
All right, please, if you're listening to this broadcast, get a hold.
Click on pause.
Filmmaker, award-winning filmmaker, investigative reporter, John Pilger, Hillary Clinton's visit to your homeland. She's been in Australia. She's been given free rein to talk about her new book and sort of attack, really, anybody that she feels like to blame for the fact that she lost to Donald Trump. You want to set this up for us? Because she's making a scene in your country now.
Well, actually, the interview that I wrote about Dennis is, was conducted in New York, but it went out on the Australian Broadcasting Corporation on their flagship current affairs program called Four Corners, and the interview was a woman with a certain reputation for hard-hitting interviews, Sarah Ferguson. But I thought it was an extraordinary display or an example of Clinton still, after all these months, attempting to justify herself, attempting to justify the loss. But what was striking about it, and I've, when I was in New York not long ago, I read quite a few interviews by female reporters with Hillary Clinton, and the sympathy for Clinton, the declaration of Clinton as a feminist, and therefore all else really should be set aside, if not forgiven. This was the sense that came across with the Sarah Ferguson interview in Australia. It starts off with, tell us about your pain seemed to be almost visceral. Describe your pain to us, as if one of the toughest politicians ever walked into the studio and was invited to lie on a therapist's couch instead of being interviewed. It wasn't just the Australian interview. This has run right through interviews with Clinton by women journalists. It says to me that the whole question of identity politics has such potency now that a corrupt and a politician really exposed as one who deceived the electorate and abused the electorate in the United States. There's nothing, for example, in the interview with ABC about why she stood up and described ordinary Americans who I suppose might vote for Trump as irredeemable and deplorable. There's nothing about how she creamed off from Goldman Sachs for speeches, a total of about $670,000, a kind of greed that really upset many ordinary people in the U.S. And of course, there is the central issue of the emails leaked by WikiLeaks from John Podesta, her campaign manager, which virtually in her own words showed how tied up Hillary Clinton has been with the whole violent, corrupt world of the Gulf and jihadism. The very people who are backing jihadism, especially Saudi Arabia, were donating large sums to the Clinton Foundation. Now,
my name is Ezell Harris. I was just off the bridge by Church Street when the second tower went down.
And what did you see?
It came down like a house of cards. There was, appeared to me to be a series of explosions.
So that was Flashpoints on September 11th, 2001. And this is...
Dennis, you'll know all this, and your listeners will know this, but all this is missing from this particular interview, and has been missing from other interviews. So it tells us how the power of identity politics, in this case gender, seems to eclipse almost truth and facts. If this person fits the identity profile, then we'll go easy. Well, there was even a photograph I noticed when I was in New York of a reporter with her arm round Clinton, consoling her, having just interviewed her. I found this extraordinary behavior.
Now, the interesting thing, and the feeling one gets in watching this whole thing unfold, is that this is a full court press to distract from the content of the released emails. Do you want to comment on that?
Yeah, I mean, it is. It's very easy to distract from something if you don't mention it. I've always felt that the most virulent form of censorship was censorship by omission. And in this particular interview that I've written about, and in so many other interviews with Hillary Clinton, these critical issues, such as the Podesta emails, and the whole nefarious state of the Clintons and the Clinton Foundation and the corruption that involves is simply left out. And Hillary Clinton is able to plead, if not innocence, then a kind of special case for her because she is a woman and a feminist.
Well, talk about the this language in the